We are in 2 Peter chapter 2. Tonight we're in Revelation chapter 9, by the way. Very weird chapter. Very weird chapter. And so that'll be at 6:30 tonight. And then we're back on Wednesday nights, which, by the way, this coming Wednesday night is a follow-up to what I'll be teaching this morning. And we're in Deuteronomy chapter 13 this coming Wednesday night at 7. So trying to get back into a groove now. It's the year 2020. And Jesus has not yet blown a trumpet. And I'm confused about that, especially if you look around this world, look around our country. But he's given us another day to glorify his name that others might come to know him. So keep plugging. Keep plugging. So anyway, so here we are in 2 Peter chapter 2. Now remember chapter 1 Peter, the first letter that he wrote, was a general letter to those who were suffering persecution, who were scattered because of the persecution. And the message was keep walking. Keep being a Christian. Because what we have here is our adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, you know, prowling about, seeking whom he may devour. And in persecution, that's the whole aim of the devil. It is to devour the church. It's to devour you who are a believer in Christ. And the devil doesn't just stop there. As we learned in 1 Peter, he comes against the church as an obvious enemy. And in 2 Peter, we see that the devil comes not so obvious, but he attacks the church, attacks God's people, not like the roaring lion, but also like the serpent in the garden. And he will come into the church and bring all kinds of weird doctrines, weird teachings. So today, we're only doing three verses today, and I'm telling you, I had countless pages of information and quotes and scriptures and all kinds of stuff, and I had to try to pare it all down into this. So I might not say something that you're thinking. You know what I'm saying? You go, oh yeah, just like that one scripture, and then I'll never bring it up, all right? Because I tried to pick through this and get the best I could out of it and keep it simple. False prophets, false teachers, we're going to learn what they do and how they do it. And that's just verse 1. And in verse 2, we're going to see the results. And in verse 3, we're going to see how it works or why it works or who it works on. Which I could just give you a general list, by the way, of who false teachers prey on. Just like that, you know, we, by the way, and it's true, and I'm not kidding you, Aaron and I have been lately watching a lot of Mutual Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And that's because we got YouTube, you know? And we're watching the 60s version, 1966, 1967, you know, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, you know? And it's always the same. We have a predator that goes after the whole herd, but what does the predator find, or where is the predator's aim? It's always on the weakest of the herd, the slowest of the herd. Always, or maybe going after a baby. And we see that that's what happens with the predators against God's church. They are aiming at baby believers, young believers, the sick, those who are struggling in their lives. They are going after those who remain on the fringe. There's no way a lion can get to the very center of a herd. He will get someone on the outer edges. And, you know, for us, it's specifically those who do not read the Word of God, or He'll go after those who are looking for some sort of excitement or those who are offended by the grace of God. And what I mean by offended by the grace of God, those who just can't believe completely that there was nothing they themselves could do to warrant their salvation. And so false teachers would come in and tell you, you're good enough, but you haven't done enough. When the Bible clearly teaches you're not good enough and you can't be. But God is good enough and he will give you the gift, the free gift of salvation through the blood of Jesus. And so some people are just offended by that. But I might brush on some of those things today, and I might not. And what we'll also learn in verses 1 and 3 is that these false teachers will face judgment. They will be thrown into the lake of fire. They will be the ones who, if you're responsible for dragging people to hell, you will definitely get a hotter spot there. And that's what will happen to all false teachers. But here's the deal, though. As Pontius Pilate had kind of mused that fateful day that he had Jesus there on trial, Pontius Pilate says, what is truth? And that's a good place to start, of even being honest, like, well, how do I discern truth at all? You know, it's pretty simple, and you don't even need the Bible to explain this. Number one, we learned this last week. Number one, witnesses. If you're in a court of law trying to figure out something happened or didn't happen or what, you bring in witnesses. And when the witnesses, all their story is matching up, you know that something there took place. And so there are countless witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and his resurrection. But also what we have to determine truth that cannot be refuted, and that is that we have the scriptures, the fulfilled prophecies. And that is God sent prophets, spoke through them by his Holy Spirit. And in talking to his people through these prophets, always brought them back to the foundation of God's holiness, spoke of judgment, and the prophets also spoke of future events. And some of those future events would happen just right then and there within their lifetimes, but they also spoke of a Messiah, someone who would come and save them. Well, when Jesus came, he fulfilled, as some people who've counted. I've not done the work. I've not done the homework. Over 300 Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled when Jesus came the first time. And he'll fulfill the rest of them when he comes again. And so we have the testimonies of those who knew him, and we have the testimony of fulfilled prophecy. No other so-called truth has that much backing it up. None. And with that said, that was the intro. We're going to pray. Lord, we do ask you to help us to discern truth from lies. Lord, I do know that one of the greatest barriers to us coming face to face with truth and following it is pride. So many people have been deceived, and it is embarrassing to have been deceived. And I want to pray for those right now that might be here or watch on YouTube or maybe watching later. Lord, that you would open our eyes should there be any wrong direction we would be taking. And that we would be humble enough to say, wow, I was wrong. But that's the hardest thing in the world to say, Lord. Oh God, have mercy on us. We are so full of ourselves. May we, Lord, may we see you May we know you. May we know exactly where we stand. May we not be deceived. We thank you that you have given us your word to lay it out, that we would know what it all looks like, so we don't have to be deceived. So, Lord, we ask you to do a work here by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. That's a pretty good mouthful right there. This is great, because you look at verse 21 of the last chapter, talking about the prophets and how we have the prophetic word confirmed through Jesus, but it says, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These are prophets. And that is, if they've been moved by the Holy Spirit, these are holy men as well. And if the things happened that they said were going to happen, as it reads in Deuteronomy chapter 18, then we know the Holy Spirit had them. But now we go to verse 1, of the next chapter. But there were also false prophets. So we see what a true prophet looks like. Now we're going to see what a false prophet looks like. And a false prophet, let me give you the definition of a false prophet according to Ezekiel chapter 13. Verses 6 and 7, it says this, they have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision, and have you not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken. Now, that just reminds you of stuff that goes on today. And you can hear it, you can see it so often in many churches where they'll come up with some sort of a prophetic thing, the Lord's given me a prophecy. And sometimes it's a general prophecy, that way you got a good chance of it happening. You're going to meet a good-looking girl. That might happen. And somebody who would even say something so stupid as that, but they would hope that it would happen. And if it happens, then they could say, see, the Lord's talking to me. But if it doesn't happen, then, we kind of let these people off the hook. Quite frankly, I'm so tired of us letting people off the hook who have falsely spoken. And I got lots of stories, and I'm not going there today. But they speak a message from their own heart. In fact, this message that they speak, I'm figuring this out, we see these guys all over the Bible. They're all over Scripture throughout the history of God's revelation. In fact, you think about King Ahab of the northern tribes of Israel. King Ahab had an entire entourage of false prophets. 1 Kings chapter 22, this guy was, he wanted to know if it was okay to go to war. And then, Elisha says to him, well, why don't we check with the prophets? So we check with the prophets. They all go, oh, King, you're wonderful. You're great. You know what? You're going to do good. And prophet says, well, what about, is that all the prophets? And he goes, no, I don't let Micaiah talk to me because he always prophesies evil against me. And I think, wow, that whole picture is exactly, it kind of clears up everything into why we believe false prophets, why they are successful. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11, it says, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You think about what was going on with Jeremiah at that time. The Babylonians were laying siege around Jerusalem. The people were starving. It was a matter of days before they were going to lose the entire city, and everyone was going to be either killed, beaten, and or brought to Babylon. Meanwhile, everybody's looking for a positive message. And here come the prophets. They say, no, peace, there's going to be peace. And everybody goes, oh, that feels good. And that is to heal them slightly. It's a drug. False prophecy works like drugs. In that it, you know, you might take, if you're really nervous, you take a Valium. You know what it does for you? Nothing. It takes care of the moment, but does nothing for your problem. But the world would rather have this moment anesthetized, I can't say that word. This moment numbed. I'm a walking thesaurus. But would rather have this moment numbed than to have the heart repaired. In chapter 28 of Jeremiah, we had a false prophet by the name of Hananiah, who in all of his theatrics, you know, he went and busted up a yoke, and he says, the Lord within 2 years shall break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. You know, and next thing you know, and everybody was saying, yeah, we like this prophet. And Jeremiah walks up, a true prophet of God, with not an uplifting message. He says, okay, this guy didn't talk from God. Let me tell you what God is saying and what's going to happen. We lose and we're going to be taken to Babylon because we will not repent. Well, and you know, they throw Jeremiah in the dungeon for stuff like this. Why? Because it's not as good of a message as the other guy. You see, false prophets, false teachers, they sum up what the people, what they believe the people really want to hear. What is going to make these people just happier, more excited, more something, whatever? They'll figure it out and they'll tell them. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We talked about fables last week. A fable is like a myth. It's just a story. And you'll hear, and it's really exciting, you know, sometimes you'll hear a story about something that happened, and you'll hear some teachers, that's all they talk about, are the things that happened. Oh, then God did this over there, God did this over there. Yeah, we know God can do those things, and it's great, and maybe some of those stories are true that you're telling me, but the Word of God is where the power is. But sometimes the Word of God doesn't make you feel good. It doesn't. I was just talking to somebody earlier before church started. I don't know if it was Mark Twain who said this, and I know I'm going to mess up the quote anyway. But he said, you know, reading the Bible, it's not the parts that I don't understand that bother me, it's the parts that I do understand. And so because people are, well, they want to hear what they want to hear. And I want, you know, let me read this one section again from 2 Timothy chapter 4. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The word endure, that's the same word used for enduring persecution and enduring trials. It's staying underneath something that's heavy. And the time will come when people won't endure sound doctrine. Well, sound doctrine, why should that have to be endured? Shouldn't that be a joy? Yeah, sometimes it is a joy. But sometimes it's not. In fact, you know what I figured out about sound doctrine? Sound doctrine isn't as entertaining as fables. And sound doctrine never changes. Sound doctrine never changes. And we're always looking for something new. Sound doctrine never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, this is where the false teachers come from, where they know what the people want to hear, and so they will come up with something. And people will come in droves. It is amazing to me how popular false teachers are. But they've always been popular. We always pretend or we just think that somehow, some way, these days, more people follow false teachers than ever. Well, I think only because there's more people on earth now. I don't think it's because, I just think it's just that the population of the planet has grown so much. And so, yeah, you got a lot more people following false teachers, but I think the ratio has always been about the same. But the warnings have been there. And let me tell you the warnings that the Bible gives us. And I want us to take these things to heart. And again, I'm only giving you a few of these. There are several. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30, Paul says this, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." The warning was there. Paul would say, "I warn you day and night with tears. Guys, this is really going to happen." I think the tears were there because he knew in his heart that there were going to be people who really did get devoured, who were going to be devoured. He knew this was going to happen, but also even just looking at the people he's talking to, a lot of them are saying, "Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, but you know, not me. I won't be, you know. They can't devour me." And Paul knew. Matthew 24, verse 11, Jesus said it, speaking of these days, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Mark 13, 22, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Showing signs and wonders? I'm gonna brush on this at the very end of the study, but just a real quick brush. But I'm gonna give you a heads up. We're gonna be talking about this kind of thing on Wednesday night, because chapter 13 of Deuteronomy says if a man should come and give a sign or a wonder, and even this thing comes to pass, but he says let's go after other gods, you don't follow him. And we'll get into the details of all that later. There are those, and you can find many of these so-called movements in the church today and all over the world, where the claim of signs and wonders are happening. And in some cases, I do believe there are some things happening. I am, by the way, you might describe me as a charismatic if the definition of charismatic is one who believes that the spiritual gifts are in operation today. I do believe that the spiritual gifts are in operation today. But what I also believe is that is the most counterfeited and twisted thing within the church today as well. And it can sure gather a crowd. And I'm going to stop there. Let's go on. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So we know that they were all over the Old Testament. They are all over today. and they seem to be gaining ground. And as it says here, there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Secretly. That's, as I said, he comes in as a serpent. I'll tell you what, somebody coming into the church and wanting to cause trouble does not introduce himself as such. You know, come in, hey, I've come to destroy the flock. Because I don't think Jesus was the Son of God. I don't think this, and I don't think, in fact, I've got some evidence that, blah, 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 and I'm going to come in and tear your church up. They don't do that. They know they're sneaky, and they'll even talk themselves into this whole idea that, well, I can't tell the pastor what I'm doing because he won't understand. And he goes sneaking behind pastor's back, doing his thing, just gaining the approval of the people. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, talking about Satan's ministers who pretend to be righteous, but of course, because Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. And so there will always be, now this is really creepy, that there will always be this sense of morality. And maybe even, you know, because some cult members, and we all know, you know, where the two major American-made cults, Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness. Now, some people who don't know the Word of God are already offended with me. One of the before I knew anything about the Bible, and I just, hey, God's cool, and God's cool with all religions because, you know, everybody's just trying to figure it out, and as long as they believe something, and all roads lead to God, and all that stuff. And when I was in the Navy, there was this good-looking girl who I wanted to get to know. Turned out she was a Christian. And she said, well, I'm going to this church event tonight. Would you like to come with me? And I said, okay. I mean, she was a girl. I had to go. And I showed up there, a whole bunch of people there, and this guy was up there talking about how some of these, you know, cult members had given their lives to Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's horrible. That's it. How can they talk against a religion? What gives them the right? Because these people are sincere and they're good people. And here you are, you think you got the corner on God. And so, after getting saved, reading the Word of God, learning who He is more and more, it gives me the willies. What these cults have done to people. Now, by the way, a side note, if any group will tell you that they have the corner on God, stand back because they're going to fry. Okay? So, now the thing is that, you know, in other words, you cannot be saved, you cannot go to heaven, you cannot live eternally unless you're a part of our organization. I mean, how stupid, really, come on. How stupid is that? Let me tell you something, which, by the way, some of you, well then, are you saying that Calvary Chapel is the way then? No! This organization, I use the term loosely, will not get you to heaven. God will not be put in these little boxes of our self-centered, self-righteous religiosity. He will not put himself in those boxes. And now, then the unbeliever now is going, right, totally, and I'm not coming to church, and I'm not listening to you, and I don't have to read the Bible because I know that God is bigger than all this. In fact, you've heard me tell the stories about telling my Catholic friends, I say, hey, buddy, Jesus wasn't Catholic. And but the thing is, though, Jesus did not attend Calvary Chapel either. Think about this. You want God in this box that you can understand, that you can grasp. He didn't come in our boxes. But he did come in a box. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, if you want salvation, you must go to Jesus. He is the box that God came in. It is him, and it is him alone. You can find him anywhere in this world, but you can't know him unless you read this. And when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, it's him. It's all him. Don't get caught up in a religion. Get caught up in the person of Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, if you do get caught up in the person of Jesus Christ, trust me, he's more intrusive than any religion. He gets in your heart and stuff. He gets in your heart and he says, well, what's that over there? You can be religious and never get your heart dealt with. But if you truly come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your heart's going to get dealt with. Truly. So what are they? Oh yeah, I don't know how we got there. They come in secretly. I'm going back wherever I came from. I'm going back to. They came in secretly. They come in secretly, in stealth, bringing in destructive heresies. You know, the word heresy in the Greek actually means choice. That's interesting. You know, we always see the word heresy and we just say it's false teaching. Well, all false teaching gives you a choice. And that is someone who comes in order to divide the body of Christ. When really, again, back to who is this about? It's about Jesus. Is Jesus divided? Paul would ask, no. Jesus is not divided. But people want to come up with something in order to draw people after themselves, cause you, well, to turn from the simple faith that is in Christ. And the ultimate aim of the devil, as you see here in verse 1, even denying the Lord who bought them. And that's to deny the Lord Jesus. Ultimately, to cause the world to deny Jesus. Because the last thing that the devil wants in your life is eternal life. He does not want you to live forever in glory. He wants you to die and burn in hell with him. That's what he wants. False teachers will always deny Jesus in one way or another. They will deny either his deity, they'll deny his character, they will deny his purpose. And they'll just change his purpose as to why he came. They'll change his message. I love it. No, I don't love it. That was sarcasm. I love it when people tell me about the character of Jesus who have never read the Word of God. Don't you love that? Don't you? Again, sarcasm. I'm like, oh, I love it. No, it drives me crazy. Well, I know that Jesus would. And they start talking about stuff. I'm going, I don't know what Jesus you're talking about. I don't know where you got that. But I'll tell you something about this denying the Lord who bought them. The most clever denial of Christ is not an outright denial. Certainly they will not deny his existence, right? We know that. You cannot deny that Jesus existed. There was a man who turned the world upside down a couple thousand years ago. History speaks of him. The Bible speaks of him. Your calendar. It used to be called BC and AD, right? Oh man, some nervous people. We got to change that. We got to make it BCE, which is before common era, and then CE, the common era. And my question is, common era. So what started the common era? I tell you what, this world cannot shake the existence of Jesus. You cannot shake it. So you can't deny he existed. You got to be a special kind of like really to believe the guy never existed. And you cannot deny the uniqueness of character. Whether or not you get that wrong, you know that he was some special guy. So you cannot deny these things. There's a much more clever, as I had said, greater, cleverer denial. And that is not to deny him, but rather to demote him. And that is how the false teachers deny Christ, by demoting him. As it says, the Lord who bought them. Do you realize that's what this is all about? You and I, Christians, the reason that we have peace and joy and eternity in our hearts is because we know that we were held captive by sin and death. And the only thing that could happen if we were to live forever is if someone paid our debt, if somebody ransomed us. And the only payment is the blood of Jesus. You were bought at a price. You and I, Christians, we were bought at a price. And the blood that Jesus spilled is enough to pay for the entire world. And so one of the characteristics of our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is that he has paid it all. It was all him. And when you say, or when you believe, that he paid a portion, and now it's up to you to pay the other portion to see if you can make it, you have denied Christ. Back to what I'd said earlier about those who may be offended by his grace. And so, we find that major cults, one of their foundational teachings is simply, Jesus didn't do enough. Jesus didn't do enough. Jesus is not God. That is a teaching of the false teachers, false prophets. We know, and you can only know this if you read the scriptures, that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three at separate times throughout the scriptures are called God Almighty. And yet all three together make up God, Elohim in the Hebrew, which is plural. He is one, but he is three. 300% put in one God. Now, Do you understand that? Can you grasp that? The answer is no. But it's just what the Bible says. Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. He is just an angel. The Mormons say that Jesus is a son of God, just as Lucifer is a son of God. And Jesus and Lucifer are, as they call them, spirit brothers. And Jesus went to the cross in order to give us opportunity to work our way to heaven. Demoting Christ. Demoting Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The simplicity that is in Christ. Simple. This morning, seriously, just praying, I know this is, look, you go to church or you have to listen to me, and I'm sorry, but you ever try to pray and you're trying and you're trying and you're trying, and everything within you, number one, like it's all about this, but unfortunately, number one, you're just, all you can think about is how you're anything else but God, and you're just not feeling spiritual. And I want some connection there with the Lord. And I'm talking to him about the things that matter to me. And then my mind is off somewhere else. Everywhere else. Driving me crazy. And I realized, you know, my problem, my heart was so divided yesterday, bad. And as I started to realize that, I said, look, you know what? I know what words to pray. I know what to say to you. I know the things that you want. I know those things. But you know, right now, everything within me and everything within my flesh, I just don't care. I'd rather go play the piano right now. I'd rather go do this right now. I'd rather go do this. And then I just started thinking of the words of a song that we do. Very simple song. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever new. I realize, wow, you know what our problem is our heart. If I don't want the things of God, that means, you know, the control center here has a problem. But even as I prayed that prayer, it was like, oh, wow, I mean, at least I knew what my problem was. And that's good. And I'm hoping that we can all just pray all the time, Lord, change my heart, change my heart, change my heart. But with that, then this morning, I was just thinking about the cross. Been reading a lot of Oswald Chambers. He's just talking about the cross a lot. It's like, man, this. And think about the cross of Jesus Christ. And two things. Two things. You know what the cross tells me? Two things. God's great love. And my great need. That's the gospel. God's great love and my great need. And you know what I don't know? I do not know the depths of his love, nor do I know the depths of my need. Oh, I think I need this, 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 and this other thing. I would like this taken care of. I'd like this. No. The cross speaks of his great love and our great need. That's the simplicity of the gospel. And Paul, talking to the Corinthians, who were being courted by a false teacher, he's saying, guys, I'm afraid. There was Eve. She had it all. And the serpent comes in saying, and wants to complicate things. So what did God say? I don't think that's what he meant. And she's going, wow, I never thought of that. And then her mind is going, and Satan puts another squirrel in her head. And so it is with so many of us. Some of us are just so like over-the-top intelligent. We've got to complicate things. But the gospel is so simple. You're a sinner separated from God. And the only chance, the only hope you and I have is the grace of God, a gift, the gift of the blood of Jesus washing away all sin, that we would live for him, with him forevermore, him getting all the glory. Yeah. And then a false teacher comes in and says, oh, don't forget, you're going to need this, 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 and a couple of those. So that's what a false teacher does. Verse 2 tells us something worse. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Many will follow. False teachers will always get more attention than those teaching the simplicity of the Bible. Because people want what they want. And they don't really care if it's true. They don't. As long as it feels good. Believing that the good feeling is the indicator of truth. I don't mean to get into my sordid past, but I'll tell you, every illegal thing I put into my system felt good initially. It was of the devil. Felt great, but it was of the devil. Felt horrible the next day. So, you know, just being more concerned with your feelings or being concerned with what is addressing the current concern. You know, you may have a concern that maybe you brought here to church today, and all I'm talking about is these three verses, and you're going, well, these guys aren't, well, this isn't the answer. Because what I need my concern taken care of right now. And you may go shopping around till you find somebody to take care of that concern. So you're not really interested in truth. You just have something else going on. And it says here, it's kind of strangely worded for us, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Because of who? The whom would have to be the teachers and the followers. But what it means is that the way of truth will be spoken evil of. In other words, really, the truth is spoken evil of by the false teachers. And then those who follow them will speak evil of the truth. But it goes beyond that. And that is that the unbelievers will be blaspheming the truth. Look at all the false representations of Christ and Christian faith in this country. Turn your TV on, you'll find some. Right? Find them all over the internet. Find them in town. You look at all of the circus performances. You see all the legalism, the lies. And because of the false teachers, because of the followers, unbelievers are going to blaspheme. They're going to speak evil. They're going to speak wrongly about God, believing that these nuts are his representatives. How many times have you seen comments on a news piece or on Facebook or wherever that would slam Christians because of some false teacher? And so false teachers just don't pick people off like that. They get everybody just watching. They'll pick those people off too. And people say, oh yeah, like I'm going to believe Christianity. Look at this. And they'll show, you know, some of these crazy guys on TV. this nutty stuff going around. Verse 3, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Okay, the first part of that, by covetousness. And there it is. How do they pull it off? How do they get people all connected to all this stuff? It's by covetousness. First of all, the heart of the false teacher is covetous. He wants something for himself, whether it be attention, but also understand that, and especially with what we have available to us with media and all of this, he's going to get a lot of money. A lot of these false teachers, they're all about the money for themselves. And they succeed because they are preying on people who are just as covetous as they are. And they believe that God's blessing comes financially. Let me put it this way. In the things of the world. In the things of the world. All of the worldly things that I have desired before I knew Christ. I meet Christ and he's telling me, I'm giving you all the worldly things your evil heart ever desired. Wow, God's awesome. Oh, dude. I think the best example, and I'm going to give some names, the best example would be that of a guy that was big, I think back in the 70s, maybe even as far back as the 60s, but he's big 70s, 80s, and I don't know if he's still alive, but even recently I heard he's back on TV, and he's still doing the same stuff. There's a guy by the name of Robert Tilton. Remember a guy by the name of Robert Tilton? Wow! This guy, I mean, it's so weird. I can't believe people follow some of these guys. You know, these are wolves in sheep clothing, right? But this guy's got a zipper on his sheep suit. It's a zipper showing right there. You can see the zipper! You're telling me you can't see that zipper? This guy is saying, oh, I have a word from the Lord. Oh, if somebody is struggling financially, you know what? God is telling me right now, you're watching on TV, you can't pay your bills, but you have $1,000 left. You send that to me, and the Lord will bless you 100-fold. Back to the person who doesn't know the Lord, but has a current need, who sees a guy who says he's speaking on God's behalf, giving them a solution. Give all the money to this guy. Well, he actually would spend time in prison because he was audited and such. In fact, he had even had conversations with a friend when they were in college saying, I know I could make a lot of money pretending to be this. And he did. And those were recorded. This, you can go back and see all this you know, documentary on this guy. Well, he spent time in jail. And what happens? He comes back. And he starts a new TV show. All about getting what he wants out of gullible people. Gullible people who are not looking for what God will do on the inside of them, but are just looking for the fix here, a fix here, a fix there. I want this. All such worldly things. An entire network called TBN that pushes a lot of these characters. I don't even know if TBN is still on or what. I used to. We hadn't had television. We got saved. We unplugged the cable. When we moved to Fort Bragg, Dennis was, trying to figure out, what our finances would be and all that. And he says, and how much does cable cost? No, we don't need no cable. He goes, go ahead, get cable. And we said, okay. We got cable. We unplugged it about a year later, right? But I did enjoy watching TBN. Because I'm sick like that. I'd be with my shoe. Just waiting for them to say one more stupid thing. Throwing the shoe at the TV. And Bridget's going, she goes, why don't you just turn it off? Amazed me. We all know Jim and Tammy Baker, right? That was another one. Ended up in jail. It's a different kind of covetousness, too. There's a guy named Bill Johnson. Some of y'all probably like him. He's at Bethel. And what he teaches these people, mostly young people, is this power that they can have. In fact, talk about demoting Christ. He says in his book that Jesus came to show us what a person who is yielded to the Holy Spirit can do with his life. Well, the Bible tells me that he came to die for my sins. He says, Bill Johnson says that Jesus was not God while he walked this planet. He was a person like you and me. And if you would be yielded to the Holy Spirit like Jesus, then you will do greater things than Jesus did. Okay, let me just tell you something about a zipper on a sheep suit. My question is, Mr. Bill Johnson, then why aren't you doing bigger things than Jesus did? If everybody should be healed, and that's another covetous thing, it's a worldly thing, it's a material thing, do I believe Jesus heals? Yes, I prayed for people and they've been healed. The Lord will heal people. He will heal you if he wants to. But he wants us to pray and ask him to heal. But not everybody gets healed. But Bill Johnson says everybody gets healed. But Bill Johnson wears corrective lenses. Yeah, I'll wait for you. Zipper, zipper. And the stupid things that go on there. I'll just call it stupid. I'll call it what it is. And I know if you think that this guy's got some value in all of that, you know, you can fight with me later if you want. But I'll tell you something. These so-called miracles of gold dust falling out of the, or the feathers coming out of the air conditioning duct. He says there's an angel feathers. I think a pigeon got caught. But what blows my mind is that these are such worldly, material, so-called miracles that when you read the scriptures, that's not what God was going for. But it attracts young people. It attracts people looking for excitement. Because I'll tell you what, it's way more exciting going to one of those meetings than this one. This isn't exciting at all. Look at y'all just sitting there. Oh, wait, one more thing. Just something kind of, just little, you know, funny little things. Did you realize that gold dust that came out of the, you know, and that's covering everybody? Somebody, some normal person, took this gold dust and just had it analyzed. It wasn't gold. It was plastic. It was plastic glitter gold. If you think if God's going to send gold, he would send real gold. But it is. You know, it's laughable except that he sucks so many people into this deception of who Jesus is, who he isn't. Repentance is not preached. Power is. Your power. What we have, the power. Gets our eyes off of the cross, his great love, our great need. And you know what? The Lord has given us his Holy Spirit. But even today, you and I need the cross of Christ. You and I need his grace today. And without his power in our weakness, we have nothing. But if it turns into all about us and our own personal anointing, you know, I've been anointed. And hey, if you want to be anointed, come, I'll pray for you. Maybe the Lord will take anointing off of me and put it on you. Let me tell you all the great anointing things I've done. Oh, and one more thing, maybe. Flopping around all over the ground. Flopping around on the ground like this is the Holy Spirit of God. I always bring them to the Bible. Where does it say that in the Bible? And then, you know, the Bible, this is deeper than the Bible. This is God's giving us new revelation and stuff. Well, my Bible tells me that God hasn't changed, his word doesn't change, his word lives forever, and that the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is self-control. These people have lost control completely. And wait a minute, I have seen this in the Bible. They were under the control of demonic spirits. Go to YouTube and see these people who have been prayed over, fallen down, and now quivering all over the ground. That's what they did who were demon-possessed in the Bible. Nobody under the power of the Holy Spirit ever did that. The Word of God, gang. The Word of God. They use deceptive words. They use this game of words. And that is to lift a scripture out of its context, divorcing it from the rest of scripture. And then, and again, attracting you with some sort of, I get something out of this. And many will follow their ways because they do not know the scriptures. I'm almost done. They do not know the scriptures, nor do they care to know the scriptures. They do not care to know the scriptures. And here we are. What? We're about 5 days into the new year. Yeah, hopefully you guys got your one-year Bibles. You're reading the Bible every day. If you don't have your one-year Bible, you're just doing it anyway because that's what you do. Read your Bible every day. Get through it. Get through the whole thing. Get through the whole thing. Such encouragement talking with people who say, hey, I got my one-year Bible. I'm doing the thing. That's great because that's how you're going to get to know Jesus. And that's how you will protect yourself from being deceived. You see, oh, that's the thing. You know, back to the, and that whole Bethel thing. My whole thing with that is just that, wow, they boast of all these gifts of the Spirit that are happening. But I'm thinking, well, why is the gift of discernment missing? Godly discernment will examine the message to see if it is true. Godly discernment doesn't say, well, it feels good. I felt it and I know that was of God because I felt it. That's not how the Bible says to discern. Acts chapter 17, the Bereans, they listened to everything Paul said. You know, and Paul was doing miracles, man. He was doing miracles. And they said, well, we're going to check this out with the scriptures. We'll get back to you. Boom. He called them more noble than the others. You want to examine things that happen. You want to examine a message from somebody. Well, the answer key is the Bible. You go to the DMV, right, and you take that test. And then they put the answer key over the top, right? They find out which ones you got wrong. Well, that's the thing. You know, you and I are living. You and I are listening. You and I are hearing. Even everything you're hearing right now. Do not be upset and believe I'm saying something wrong unless you've gone to the scriptures and you can point it out and bring it to me, and then you and I can talk about it because maybe I got something wrong here. But your opinion and my opinion have no place here. The Word of God is what's going to determine the truth. And so we have the answer key right here. Truth is found in God's word. In the prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17, in verse 17 of that, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It's going to be the word of God. And the whole, and you know what? Unfortunately, I know a lot about different cults and such. I have studied them, and it has been some of the most unsatisfying things I've ever done. But if you want to know about false teaching, if you want to know about that, and you want to be able to protect yourself against such things, it has everything to do with getting to know the genuine. It's, you know, you've heard that illustration. If you haven't, you're going to hear it now. And that is that when you work at a bank, they actually teach you to be able to spot counterfeit. But they don't teach you how to spot counterfeit by showing you counterfeit. They just give you all the real stuff. And you know, it's so funny. Oh, yeah, is that how they do it? Really? Really? Or did some real clever pastor make that up? And I was at the bank over at Chase. It was about 10 years ago. And there was a newer teller there. She was playing with the money. I was the only one. I walked in there, and she's got a stack of hundreds just going like this. Just takes another one, looks at this side, looks at this side. And she explained to me before I even asked her. She says, oh, I'm just supposed to really get to know the way the money feels and the way it looks. I said, so that you know when a counterfeit comes through, huh? And she goes, right. I go, oh my goodness, it's real. That's how they really do it. Spend time here. Learn of who God is. Have your errors corrected. My first year of walking with the Lord, I had a lot of thoughts about God that were just not true. I learned it from different people who told me they were from God. And as I read the Word of God, God's Word will refute something that I learned. And then after that, I'm going, oh, wow, well, either I'm going to believe the Bible or I'm going to believe that guy. And I chose to believe the Bible. And I'm going to stick with it. You can do what you want. You're free to do what you want. You're free to believe what you want. I'm just telling you that the Bible tells you that there's going to be consequences for the things we believe and do. And Peter says their destruction does not slumber, even though it feels like it. It feels like God's just letting it all go. But he sees it, and it's going to be done. One day, all of that's going to be taken out. But your question might be, why does God allow this? And I have a real easy answer for you, and I'll get more into it when we get to Wednesday night, Deuteronomy chapter 13. If you can't be here Wednesday night, tune in on YouTube. I just did a commercial. Did you hear that? But why would God allow this? Why does he stand back and watch people get devoured by these shysters? Well, it weeds out the posers. False teachers weed out the posers. In fact, God might even send a false prophet every now and then. What? Why would God do that? Deuteronomy 13, read ahead, and we'll talk about it Wednesday night. So the dangers are out there. Take heed. Take heed. And, well, be more certain that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you're going to learn about him here. Calvary Chapel did not die for you. This is not the place of salvation. Jesus is the place of salvation. Find him. He's been looking for you. Father God, I praise you and I thank you so much. We thank you that you are clear with the warnings, and I pray that, Lord, we wouldn't be out looking for something that you're not doing, that you're not about. I pray that we would not seek after excitement or getting that particular itch scratched, but that we would want you, and that your light would shine in our hearts and change us and draw us to you, that you would be glorified and that others would come to know you, and that one day we'll be with you face to face. Lord, protect us. Thank you for giving us the tools to protect ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name.